go ahead and call the House Transportation Committee to order. Thank you all for coming on Friday, and we have informational hearings, so I'm going to just go ahead and get started so we can all finish our day, right? And with that, I'm going to ask Dan Klim, the Director of the Department of Aviation, to come forward.
Is this mine or yours?
Thank you, Chair Beyer and members of the House Committee on Transportation. I am Dan Klim, Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation. It's my extreme pleasure to brief you today, on the department and its roles. I do want to point out a couple of things before we get into the pictured slides with aircraft and skies. As part of your packet that's in front of you is a purple folder. The purple folder represents an excerpt from the recently published Oregon Aviation Master Plan and Systems Plan, and it contains the airports in your district. Chair Beyer, I apologize, you have no airports in your district. And in fact, some of you have half of a tree sitting in front of you in paper form. I apologize for that as well. But I wanted to give you a perspective.
A tree.
I'm trying to catch these in sustainable terms, members of the committee.
Pretty funny.
The import of airports to economic development, transportation, quality of life for Oregonians cannot be understated. And yet sometimes, because it's an adjunct activity to a city's public works department or a county's another department to manage and hold, we really feel that the Oregon Department of Aviation has an important role in assisting those communities and keeping airports open. As I stated in testimony the other day, airports across the nation are closing. Particularly the small general aviation airports. In the last 4 years, the Oregon Department of Aviation has been successful in transferring ownership of some of those airports to private parties and also to municipalities who indicated an interest in operating their own airport. However, of late, some of them called back and said, can you take the airport back? So Oregon Department of Aviation has a strong commitment under the governor's leadership guidance in keeping rural communities viable, sustainable, and the airport are part of that entire solution. In your purple folders, again, is an outbreak or an excerpt from the Oregon Aviation Master Plan, and it details out the kinds of facilities that exist in the plan or at the airport, the kinds of traffic, the kinds of airplanes that fly. It establishes an inventory piece for your airport, but more importantly, what it does is it projects the amount of flights, the kinds of airplanes that are expected to increase and land in the future. And again, a lot of that is estimating and scientific, but in fact it gets to the point of helping us discern what the needs, what the infrastructure needs of each of those airports is. Navigational aids, runway rehab, runway extension, hangars, lights, and a number of other things. Access roads, water and sewer service. So it determines, based on the category of the airport and the kinds of planes that fly there, what the deficiencies in the system are, remembering that we have responsibility of a total system. So I wanted to give you an idea of what is being given to county commissioners and city councils in your area to help them as they put their packages together for grant applications, for Connect Oregon, for federal monies, and they compete for FAA funds, Federal Aviation Administration funds, for capital improvements. So it's another empowering tool for them. At the very top of the folder, however, is an important piece which speaks to the economic impact of that airport. That's economic impact, as you can see, for each airport is really in three basic areas: on-airport direct, on-airport indirect, you know, the value of business that happens by going through the fence and businesses at the airport, but really the economic value in that community in the third category of the total, what that regional, within a two-hour bubble, what that airport means in terms of regional figures. I will tell you in that third category of the regional economic impact that is highly extrapolated, but in fact the first two parts of that economic impact study have import for your for your airport sponsors in your districts, and we have this for the entire state. Obviously, I've just provided it for the representatives here, but in fact, that economic impact is an important critical link as they compete for federal funds, state funds, and as they do their own planning for how they prioritize the airport within their budgets. So I wanted to give you an idea that this aviation master plan that we're responsible for and recently completed is being... A lot of the information came from the airports. We're giving it back to the communities to make them competitive and to help them plan for their infrastructure needs on all of their airports. And with that, I'll go ahead. If there are any questions, I'll go ahead and get into my picture slides. Too close? All righty. With that, please find the picture slide briefing in front of you. Now, the second page outlines the basic threefold focus for advocating for the growth of aviation, the improvement of aviation, and safety of aviation in Oregon. We're committed to the development and realization of a strategic plan by looking at, again, aviation on a statewide basis, participating in multimodal coordination, and carefully coordinating and managing aviation-related legislation. And really, what is close to my heart as an elected official, city councilor in Salem, providing assistance to aviation constituents, owner sponsors, and aviation system users. The idea is to make sure that we do everything that we can to support the communities. That is our mission statement, supporting communities by preserving and enhancing aviation. So the focus isn't just aviation, it isn't just the runways on the airports, but in fact how those play a critical link in supporting the communities and their sustainability. With that, I'll turn to slide number 3. These are our duties and roles to manage 28 public use airports. At one time, that was 37 airports back in the 70s. So there has been an influx of airports that come under our jurisdiction, and there are airports that are sold or closed or not used anymore.
Chair.
Yes.
Dan, the airport at Sisters used to be private. Is this still privately owned?
Madam Chair, Representative Gilman, it is still privately owned, and new owners, I met with them a couple of months ago. I think title transfer has occurred and transferred it from new owners. The corporation that originally built Black Butte opened that up and then has since sold it. So whenever even airports change hands between private to private, we show an extreme interest in getting a commitment that they keep the airport open and that they keep enhancing it for safety purposes. We established under the jurisdiction of the Oregon Aviation Board the policy direction for all aviation in the state. We manage the pavement maintenance program, spending $1 million a year putting it into asphalts. In each region of the state, we've essentially have the Northwest region, the Southwest region, and the East Central region. We rehab or put pavement asphalt on anywhere from 14 to 17 airports each year. We just completed Eastern Central Oregon, where many of the airports there received a variety of whatever that airport needed, slurry seal, fog seal, a new lift. This year, we will be working in the northwest corner of Oregon. Next year, we'll be working in the southwest corner of Oregon. We are responsible for airport licensure and registration. That also includes non-retail fuel facilities. Oregon State Fire Marshal, and the way the current statute and rules are set up, we also regulate non-retail fuel facilities on public use airports. We're responsible for the pilot registration and search. Pilot registration program, which raises money for Oregon Emergency Management Search and Rescue Program. So it's the pilots paying their registration dues that provides the money that reimburses the search and rescue entities in the counties and Oregon Emergency Management. We are responsible for aircraft registration, uniquely different in Oregon than it is in Washington and California, which are more sales tax type based or value property value type based. And we currently have bills to reestablish new fees, higher fees for pilot registration, aircraft registration to meet increased demands for search and rescue and for the programs that aircraft registration pays for. We are responsible for evaluating tall objects or objects, structures, buildings that penetrate the aviation flight surfaces, what we call the Part 77 surfaces. And I have staff that routinely work with the FAA, but in fact with airports to ensure that if structures are intended, if we know about it, we try to do what we can to mitigate that. But in fact, this is Oregon full of trees, and trees present probably the most of our work in evaluating which ones have got to be trimmed and at what rate. We are responsible for the Oregon's innovative pilot program called the Through the Fence Program, found at Aurora State Airport, Scappoose Industrial Airpark, and the City of Baker Municipal Airport. And that program has been up and running for about 4 years. We'd like to expand it from 3 airports to 6 airports in a bill that's being considered by the legislature. And we're excited that Oregon is in essence, on the leading edge of using, designing a program that allows the airport to be used for economic development for the community.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you mentioned fees and increasing them for some purpose, or did I not catch that correctly? Did you just mention fees, increasing fees? Can you tell me, is that a normal annual thing? Do we do this every 2 years, or what? Tell me about these fees so I have a better understanding.
Chair Byer and Representative Bence, I can describe them a little bit later, but the short end of it is they've not been increased since they were established in 99. And this would be the pilot registration fee to provide more funds for the search and rescue program. There hasn't been enough fund to reimburse folks. The Pilots Association has endorsed that, and also for aircraft registration, the aircraft owners are sending letters of support for the slight increase that we're asking there. But they aren't automatically raised. They're sitting steady.
Follow up.
Yes,
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're going to talk about them later anyway, so I don't need to go into them. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes. Dan, on the Through the Fence program, I think that some people might not understand what you mean by Through the Fence, so it might be helpful if you can maybe give a little more of an explanation of what that means.
Chair Byer, members of the committee, the Through the Fence program, the FAA model for finances on an airport that they finance, provide capital improvements for, is essentially that only the entities inside the fence, they tend to pay for the operations of that airport. So they're inside the fence. They have hangars there. They sell fuel there. They have a restaurant there. They are inside the fence. And to date, the FAA has considered any entity, any business, any operator coming through the fence to not necessarily be seen as favorable, because there's doubt that they'll pay their fair share. The Through the Fence program that Oregon has created has established in rule and in policy and in operating manual sense a method by which you control that access. You develop public-private partnerships with the businesses on and the users of the airport, with the users off the airport, with the local elected officials. We have an exciting Through the Fence program at Aurora State Airport, wherein we meet once a month. They vote on the budget that I've established for the airport. They vote on the level of fees they're willing to pay for the improvements. And if, in fact, someone wants to come through the fence, they have to go through a formal application process, and I make sure that they pay to the airport for its operation the same exact fees that someone would pay if they were on the airport. So the Through the Fence program is an innovative way of structuring the access to the airport through the fence, if you will, in an equitable and regulated manner. FAA's concerns throughout airports in America are that a local airport sponsor will allow an operator through the fence, a business through the fence, and because they want that economic development or they want that economic activity, you know, don't worry about the fees. You're not an operator at the airport. I don't have jurisdiction over you. Or that the fence will actually be opened, wide open for anybody to use the airport without paying their fair share. And this extends both into commercial, industrial, and residential airparks. The Oregon's law is a way of saying, no, wait a minute. There's a way of structuring. There's a way of developing public-private partnerships so that everyone is treated equally, and you can use the airport for economic development. Scappoose Industrial Airport and Baker City applied We're anxious to join the program, and we're working through the nuts and bolts of how to use the airport as an economic development incentive to attract business. I will tell you that there are 2 to 3 other airports that have heard about the program. They see that it provides structure. They see that it provides potential for development and or access to the airport, and they've indicated an interest if Oregon's law expands it to 6 airports. Many airports do through the fence activities now. FedEx here at the Salem Airport is an operator that is not necessarily completely inside the fence, and yet they pay their fair share of access. That's the simplest example. There are many others. Oregon has a number of manufacturers who in the aviation-related avionics and navigational aids, yet there's no room at the airport. Well, how do they use the airport to move their products? Much of rural Oregon increasingly is looking at moving their products by air. Yet you don't reside at the airport. You can't use the runway. The Through the Fence program establishes a solid basis where everybody lives by the same rules and pays for operating the airport.
Okay. Thank you.
We have much responsibility in making sure that airports are compatible with the local jurisdictions in terms of land use. We don't have much authority there, but we have issued a compatibility guidebook which provides templates for cities and counties to establish definitions, safety overlay zones, and a number of other items that they would want to put into the comprehensive land use plan to ensure that airports are buffered in terms of noise, in terms of activity from the local community. It was passed in 1994, and we're about half of the communities, half of the land use jurisdictions have implemented some form of code to ensure that they buffer between growing encroaching communities and airports. There are airports, for example, here in Oregon where that hasn't worked, and there are airports where it's worked beautifully. Clackamas County is an example of good county planning, incorporating some of our templates from the compatibility guidebook into their comprehensive land use plan. And we tend to not run into problems in terms of compatibility or conflict, particularly in that county. Not sure whose county that is, but again, it's a local one. And in the aviation system planning, we have the responsibility of making sure that the system, we identify what it needs, what it's going to need, and continue to lobby for the dollars and funds locally, state, and federally to make sure that those airports are safe and have the navigational aids that they need for the type of airport that they are. With your permission, I'll move to slide 4. Couple of pictures and facts and figures. 97 public use airports in Oregon. There are over 400 airports in Oregon, most of them ag and privately owned. The Oregon Department of Aviation owns or operates 28 of those. 53 are city or county owned. One is an airport district, the Coos County Airport District at the Coos County North Bend area. 15 are privately owned. And 300, and these 15 privately owned are public use airports, and 2 of them are eligible for federal funds. 355 private use airports. Of all of the 97 public use airports, 8 of them are commercial airports: Portland, Salem, Medford, Eugene, Redmond, Klamath Falls, Coos Bay. 4,200 registered aircraft and approximately 2,600 registered pilots. The pilots who register annually. The numbers are different if you count them if they're registering biannually. They also have that option as well. If I could turn to slide number 5. Again, I just want to reemphasize the value to the local community airports. The communities consider their airport important for access. There are communities due to weather where you can't drive, but you can sure fly. And obviously the other way around. But the Joseph State Airport is critical to Wallowa County. When they lost a doctor at the local hospital, Life Flight, that airport all of a sudden became the Life Flight pad for Wallowa County. It's still critical to them. I'm not sure of the current situation with medical professionals there. But in fact, sometimes that airport becomes the lifeline for that community. The commercial air service has been an area that we've recently been assisting communities with. They consider commercial air service critical to the ability to attract business but maintain the business that they have. The Klamath Falls Airport is absolutely critical to Geldwin's international presence in the building materials industries, and I could give you a number of other examples. To business as well, we've recently been involved and helped provide some assistance to an aviation business cluster, aviation industries cluster, wherein a number of manufacturers and aviation-related businesses have come together to lobby this to the government and to other businesses to say these are the kinds of things we need to do to keep people employed in aviation-related industries. Columbia Helicopters, Aurora State Airport, over 600 employees. These are high-paying jobs, and they are fairly stable even in today's economy. So they're, Oregon is home to some of the largest and most prolific heavy-lift helicopter operations, and the kit plane manufacturers in Oregon account for 70 to 90% of all the experimental aircraft sold in the United States. Lancer and Redmond, Vans aircraft at Aurora. These are hobbyists that buy and build these planes, but Oregon has the market cornered on that. We've been assisting those industries in working with the FAA to not impose a lot more regulatory requirements on them. It makes it onerous for them. So we are about helping to do what we can to help aviation-related businesses. It goes without saying, emergency services, fire suppression, many of the airports that we own or operate, and specifically operate, are ones under lease agreements from BLM and U.S. Forest Service. We've struck agreements over the number of years. That airport is an important component for the community, but also one for firefighting. So a number of these airports are simply for that reason and that reason alone. Medevac, precautionary landing strips, assisting with search and rescue, disaster relief, and law enforcement. Recreational flying is it's not big, but it's passionate. Nehalem, the agreement, the partnership that we have with Oregon State Parks and Recreation is the Nehalem State Airport. It's also the Nehalem Bay Park. It's critical to having us next door to help keep it operating, as well as it's nice having a park right next to an airport. It's one of the most popular stops for the recreational flyers, obviously, when the weather permits. Tourism, we sit on the governor's transportation and tourism task force, and it is amazing, again, in the recreational sense, but also in the business sense. A lot of the scheduled air service needs for the communities of Newport and Astoria were related to tourism, and so the contract that was signed last Friday to bring in Seaport Airlines on 2 times a day at Newport and 3 times a day at Astoria are critical for not only business and the other items mentioned here, but also for tourism. And then working with other governmental agencies is important as we all strive to assist each other with our aviation-related missions. If I could turn to slide number 6 under aviation system planning, that purple folder, hopefully most of you have something in it, again, details out the role of the airports in your districts, but in fact, they all comprise part of the aviation system, of which we have the ultimate responsibility for. And in this last update of the 2007 version of the master plan, we included an economic analysis for each of the airports, again, but also we did it by ODOT region. If it made sense that communities were going to be applying for Connect Oregon funds, well, it made sense to package and organize the report in a way that made sense in transportation, and the ODOT regions tend to be the best default to that. If I could turn your attention to slide number 7, this very busy eye chart, I want to give you an idea of the overall economic impact of aviation to the Oregon's economy. Aviation-related industries and activity account for over 35,000 jobs. This is as of 2007, and for an aggregate of almost $3 billion in Oregon's economy. When you add the Port of Portland to that, it bumps to almost 95,000 jobs with an aggregate of almost $3 billion. So aviation may not account for a lot of the activity that gets discussed, but behind the scenes in each community that has an airport and or wants an airport or commercial activity, it's incalculable to understand how much business goes through your local airport. You'd be surprised. With that, we'll turn to slide number 8, aviation initiatives. We are looking at continuing to promote the through-the-fence concept. I'll go to an FAA conference where, again, I will stand up and talk about Oregon's through-the-fence program and continue to press the case that the FAA should revise and update its model to do so. We will continue to work with communities and carriers to expand and improve regional air service, scheduled and commercial, and seek federal appropriations for. We need 2 control towers, one at Aurora State and one at Bend Municipal Airport. Aurora State Airport has over 100,000 activities, or what we call operations, a year. I've got small planes landing over helicopters and jets landing over small planes and large frame aircraft landing over them. It's something that I've got. It's my top priority. I got to get a control tower to Aurora. And we have a lot of support for it, but we'll have to wait and see how funding shakes out. Bend Business Park has 55,000 annually in operations, but the distinction there is the presence of aviation airplane manufacturers, Cessna and Epic Air, and there are Precision Flight Systems and a number of aviation manufacturers, and their airport really is the front showroom, the showcase room of their product, and purchasers are landing and taking off at that airport. You have not as much operations as Aurora, but you've got a wider, diverse mix of folks who've never flown into that airport before. And for economic development purposes, the control tower to Bend is absolutely critical, particularly if we want to try to keep Cessna here. They've just experienced another layoff. They're down to about 200 employees, and they've still got sales, but in fact, a control tower is critical for a major aircraft manufacturer such as Cessna. And then protect our industries, aviation-related industries. I plan on working further with those companies to help provide assistance and viewpoints as they attempt to stay in business and keep jobs at least at the levels they've enjoyed previously. With that, slide number 9 continues our aviation initiatives. For a price of a dollar, the Port of Portland and the Department of Aviation have in our budget request the permission to purchase the Molino Airport. We've been on a 5-year operating agreement. We're about halfway through that, and with the construction of the investment over $2 million by the Port of Portland, we believe that the Molino Airport will now be self-sustaining. And that was the agreement, that once it became financially self-sustaining. Molino Airport is a great example of a small rural airport that's going to stay that way, but the potential for it with the widening of Highway 213 and the land, the ability to develop and build hangars there, and make that an exciting rural airport is very good. Interestingly enough, as Portland becomes busy, pilots who don't want to fly in crowded airspace move to Aurora, to Hillsboro. They move to Troutdale. As that gets busy, they move to Aurora. As that gets busy, they move to Independence, or they move to Molino. The Wright brothers are still flying every day, and they just want to fly their plane. They don't have anything fancier than a Piper Cub or a Cessna 152, and they just want to fly. And Molino is that kind of airport. We've got to keep that kind of airport in the system. So we're excited about completing this operating agreement and taking over ownership of the Molino Airport. Fuel will continue to be a challenge for airplane owners, as some of their planes can only burn gas that has no ethanol in it. There are planes, the fuel industry is changing its octanes. that are even being put into cars today. And the avgas, which most of the planes burn, is only manufactured twice a year in bulk batches, and it's 100 low lead, but in fact it looks like it may be disappearing and being replaced with some other kind. Every time this happens, you have this major problem in the aviation world. And again, if we're still going to honor the Wright brothers spirit, it's a concern to us, and we're working with the fuel distributors, with aircraft owners, and with the federal authorities on that. We spent the last 2 years working with over 150 land use jurisdictions in helping them implement the airport planning rule. We did a survey. I presented yesterday in Senate Transportation Committee that shows the counties and cities who have had the opportunity and the resources to be able to implement that airport planning rule. We are doing everything we can to just help. We do have the templates for the kinds of ordinance that they need, the kinds of diagrams they need to incorporate into their comprehensive land use plans, but it really gets at controlling the construction of tall objects and structures. That tends to be the one that's the toughest piece. So we're continuing to work with them, as well as with the TSA and the FAA, in understanding how do you keep security high on a general aviation airport. There's nobody there. There's no cargo or baggage screening. There's no folks in TSA uniforms, and yet some of the greatest threat perceivably came from airplanes. So the idea of how do you common sense wise implement what really level of threat you have on small GA airports. Working with the TSA, we continue to do that as we encourage that they do what makes sense and what's affordable. And we assist the communities in ODOT managing the Connect Oregon programs. If I could turn to slide number 10, I just wanted to give you an idea in the last biennium, over $10 million investment in state airports and some of the projects that are listed there. And in slide number 11, just sort of a picture of what an aviation project looks like. The relocation of a completed taxiway at Aurora. As the planes get bigger and they get heavier, you have to move the taxiway. You have to separate the taxiway and the runway just due to wingspan. And to that end, the department and local tenants and FAA had been planning this for over 12 years. We were able to complete that with the last awarded FAA grant in 2007. We were the last dollar that the FAA spent. It was the Aurora taxiway. So those dollars are competitive, and we delivered on time, under budget, and that airport is much safer now with the projects you see in the diagram. Slide number 12 shows that Oregon, with your good help and the governor's leadership, over $40 million for aviation-related Connect Oregon investments, most of which are underway right now. In fact, I think they all are. And spanning all the way from Port of Portland, the large airport, Oregon's airport, to the city of Vail. The Oregon Aviation Board has found that assisting with Connect Oregon in for jobs and for connecting with other modes of transportation has been a critical plus up for Oregon's aviation. With that, slide number 13, this is the other investment that you make, that we make with the jet fuel and aviation fuel tax, the pavement maintenance program. These are the airports, and showing the federal share in the pavement maintenance for an aggregate of about $1.3 million, and then in the financial aid to municipalities, what I call the FAM grants. These are grants that are awarded by the Oregon Aviation Board from my agency's funds, and as you can see, the dollar totals by year there, we've awarded about $1.4 million. These FAM grants are critical to many of the communities, particularly the ones who don't have federal funding in a match. It could be the difference between keeping the runway, the airport open, or closing it. And again, as I stated earlier, in the last 8 months, I've heard from three airports saying, I'm not sure I can keep it open. The FAM grants are awarded on a competitive basis, but obviously a need basis. And we're hoping with the proposed budget that the governor submitted that we'll have your permission again to get back into the FAM grant business. We weren't able to award any in 2007 or 2008. With that, slide number 14. I just wanted to give you an idea that in my budget packages, and Madam Chair, Representative Bentz, that I would like to explain the registration fee increases at this time. But again, as I stated earlier, the Molina of airport ownership, I believe enough operational funds will be prevalent for us to make one position permanent and hire two maintenance employees. I've been hiring them on a seasonal temporary basis now. At some point in time, I've been holding off, but I got to come to you and ask for permission. I think I have the revenue. I projected that I will, and I'd like to hire two maintenance personnel. I've asked for permission for the FAM grants, but the dollar amount of $500,000 is not accurate. I'm hoping to use the aircraft registration increased fees to pay for $100,000 for FAM grants. And I've also listed the Joseph Airport. Oregon's pavement maintenance program takes a half a penny of jet fuel tax and 6 cents of avgas fuel tax and spends about $1 million a year in asphalt and airports. But pavement maintenance is one thing. Pavement rehab is a complete different. At some point in time, you just can't glue this thing together anymore. You can't seal the cracks. You have to rehab. That FAM grant that I mentioned earlier can be the difference. At some point in time, my folks will look at an airport and say, Dan, we can't seal it anymore. It needs rehab. I don't have the funds to do that. It's the locals, it's the federal competitive funds, and or any other sources to include Connect Oregon. They have to take their chances on those sources. The pavement maintenance program doesn't pay for rehab. It's not enough money, and it wouldn't be able to get a whole lot of airports anyway. First, you maintain your pavement, and then you lengthen the time frame between if it ever needs rehab. So I have asked for permission to completely rehab. I was going to do some pavement maintenance at the Joseph State Airport due to temperatures and weather there. It just didn't last as long as it should have. I'd like to rehab the airport. With your permission, I'd like now to speak to the two registration fees in more detail. The aircraft registration fee in Oregon is much, much lower than in Washington or California. In California, it's a percent of the purchase price, and that can be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a year, depending on the type of plane. The Oregon aircraft registration for most of the aircraft that fly in Oregon, single engine piston, is $50 a year. I'm asking for permission to raise it to $55 a year. There are a number of aircraft who haven't been taxed at all because in Oregon statute, they weren't categorized in the statute. So the statute hasn't kept up with the kinds of planes that are out there. So I've proposed, and it hasn't been heard yet, with the support of the Aircraft Owners Association, that we increase the aircraft registration fees, not to increase them because they haven't been increased in a while, but to increase them to help pay for FAM grants, to allow me to see the revenue to be able to start issuing FAM grants back to communities again up to $100,000. So specifically, aircraft registration pays for two things. It pays for the 5% state match for the 95% federal funds. That's its first use, and its second use is for the FAM grants so that we can get back in the business of helping communities. If I thought that there was more revenue there or that an increase that would be supported at a much higher level, I would have come to you with that. But in fact, the aircraft owners have said, okay, a small increase, we support that because it really does come back to us in terms of airport projects and also for grants for airports. So the aircraft registration would go up for most aircraft, $5 a year. By comparison, other states are much higher. The story is out there, and I haven't yet confirmed it, the 747 that registered at Lakeside Airport. A 747 pays $162 a year. I think in the relative impact on airports and the fact that Oregon is probably the place to get your aircraft registered if you don't want to pay a lot of money, it sort of makes sense that a small increase was probably tolerable. And I did receive support from the Aircraft Owners Association. So pilot registration, asked for an increase annually from $8 to $12 a year, again supported by the Oregon Pilots Association. In the search and Oregon Department of Aviation provides the funding that reimburses search and rescue entities and Oregon Emergency Management. This last biennium, when I took over the agency 2 years ago, I didn't see that there was enough money to continue to do that. So during this current biennium, I've been paying our expenses and also search and rescue entities' expenses and haven't been able to reimburse Oregon Emergency Management for their expenses. I'm asking for a small increase in the pilot registration annual fee so that we can get back in the business of ensuring that Oregon Emergency Management has a viable search and rescue program and that search and rescue entities receive the reimbursement for their necessary expenses that they incur in conducting searches and rescues. It's tough trying to find out who all the pilots are out there. We have an FAA database that we try to reconcile our records against. But as pilots grow older and at some point in time some don't fly and new pilots come on board, we do everything we can to be aggressive in collecting those registration fees, particularly of late. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions with regard to our registration fee increase.
Any questions? Representative,
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Clem, I was just, is there a sheet of paper or a handout that lists the proposed increases for us today?
Madam Chair, Representative Benz, there is not. I know that there is one that's been submitted for the Ways and Means relative to those bills, or LFO relative to those bills, but I don't have that here. I can certainly get that to you, obviously.
Madam Chair, Representative Benz, we have two bills in committee that are the two bills that are being referred to that would do one of House Bill 2149 is the aircraft registration fee measure, and House Bill 2150 is the pilot registration. Those, I can get copies of those to you, staff measure summaries. They don't include what exactly itemized what the proposed increase would be spent for, but they do have the statutory references of where those changes would be made.
A follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up, please.
Did you mention a fuel tax also? Did I hear a fuel tax of some sort of fuel tax increase? Or is this just registration that we're talking about?
Madam Chair, Representative Benz, I did have a bill drafted to potentially look at increasing jet fuel tax so that I could really pay for and fund FAM grants and deferred maintenance. However, it's highly suspect that will even be heard. But what I'm talking about today is pilot and aircraft registration. There is no jet fuel tax bill that will likely go forward.
Well, I'm new to this, so you'll have to share with me. Are you going to be supporting a fuel tax bill also, or are you saying today you're just dropping the fuel tax concept?
Chair Beyer, Representative Benz, I am in consultation with the governor's office on that right now. So I can't answer your question.
Thank you.
No other questions?
Yeah,
I was going to say I had a couple. But.
For the record, this is Councillor Clem to me because he's my city councillor. Have you got your private license yet, Dan?
Madam Chair, Representative Berger, still working through ground school. I fly frequently and am learning a lot about it, but I do not yet. Agency management has kept me busy.
Follow up. We will welcome to my airport Independence, not Salem, which I have two airports but Independence Airport is in my district, and I have worked proactively with Dan on that, on issues around it, and do my best to support it as a community endeavor. It's really a wonderful thing to have a supported airport in your community.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Clem, I guess I don't know if you can help me. On the registration of planes, when does a plane have to register in Oregon, or is there an option that people from other states can come in and register their planes? Is it if they fly in Oregon, they have to be registered in Oregon, or how does that work?
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, upon sale, transfer, acceptance of title, FAA regulations require that it be registered with the FAA. If the state requires registration within 60 days, and you have to declare what airport it will be based at. No one sits at the airport to wait to see if it shows up. You just have to make a declaration. So the aircraft registration fee activity collection happens when that occurs through FAA regulations. Oregon's law requires, and Oregon administrative rules requires, that once it's been here for 60 days, they're supposed to register it. So we, of late, have been very aggressive in collecting in a very nice way with postcards and phone calls aircraft owners to register. 85% of everybody flying a plane, at least 85% of the pilots and aircraft owners, they want to register. In fact, we used to hand out decals, so they would call once a year for their decal. That's not a practice we do anymore because there's not anybody around flying around checking decals, but like you can on the highway. But in fact, aircraft registration is something that most folks want to do, and they send in their registration. They have to also register with the FAA as well.
Okay. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had some great improvements at the Ontario Airport, and their the whole facility is far better today than it was some years ago. So for what your involvement was in that, we thank you. The question I have is this. We had a situation involving personal property tax on airplanes. It was actually a situation where the aircraft was stationed in either Texas or Oregon.
Oh.
It happened that the aircraft was, if situated in Texas, would have enjoyed quite the property tax. In Oregon, apparently aircraft are not considered personal property and thus not taxed. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Benz, that is correct. They are not considered and are not taxed, and that's another reason why Oregon's registration, aircraft registration, is so attractive. And the FAA just recently completed a reconciliation of why are these planes registered or based at 10 different airports. You plug in all the tail numbers and 10 airports show up. And the reason is that some folks fly between 10 airports. What they finally, I think the reasonable course they took was, where does it spend most of its time? That's where it's supposed to be registered. So it might be amazing to see that plane based more at Ontario, which I hope it would, than Texas. But we do not tax, and many other states do. So, again, it makes it attractive.
Right. Follow that. Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I only raised the issue because I was pretty sure that we did not have a personal property tax on airplanes here, and therefore the way that one recovers these costs that you're talking about is either through the registration fee or the AV tax. Is that correct? Or is there some other way that we make the poor people inside the fence pay for the use of or the availability of the airport?
Chair Beyer, Representative Benz, I want to make sure we're not confusing things here. Aircraft registration in the state of Oregon pays for the 5% match on state airports and then for FAM grants for the when we're allowed to do that. But the airport operations itself, there are a number of fees and ways that each airport maintains its own financial self-sustainability. A fuel flowage fee is paid on any fuel that's there. Leases from the hangars, access fees that they may impose. They recover the necessary costs for operating the airport through those types of operational fees, and then the state collects aircraft registration fees for the state matching funds for the capital improvements on state-owned airports. Ontario Airport is a municipality-owned airport. Therefore, we entertained their application on the Connect Oregon 2 process, but they, in essence, received almost all their funding from the federal government. They received a 95%. So their aircraft registration fee that for planes based at Ontario had no impact on the capital improvement expenses, the improvements that are now going to be made to your runway. But in fact, fees that they pay through fuel and leases and hangar leases, that's what helps pay for the operational costs inside the fence at the Ontario Airport.
Thank you for that. Madam Chair,
For
years I represented the FBO there, so kind of, and also the City of Ontario, so I kind of understood that, but I thought haven't looked at it for years, so I thought you could refresh my memory, and you've done that, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I think we're about done, but I do want to say that I chose to introduce the AV tax bill this time, and I wanted to make that clear that that was my decision to do it. And you'll probably get lots of emails from people complaining about about the, the increase. But again, I think he's probably very accurate that this bill probably will not move this time. Now, whether it should is another thing. I think that we have an extremely low aviation fuel tax in this state. And at some point, we are going to have to look at that. And I don't know if you have any comment on that or if you're ready to...
Oh, I'd just love to tell you, Madam Chair, members, that we're one of the lowest states in the union on jet fuel. And yeah, but I won't. I don't want any more emails.
Good. I wouldn't want you to.
No. I was hoping I answered Representative Bence's question the best I could, though.
Yes.
Apologize for not being clear. Last slide shows me flying away. And subject to your questions and or any other requests for information, I look forward to seeing you hopefully when the pilot registration, aircraft registration bills have an opportunity to be heard by the public.
And thank you so much for coming today, and thank the committee for coming in today. And I'm going to adjourn for the day. And have a great weekend.
Yep.